Topic that our dear sister also sang about, and I have titled a message, Don't Keep It to Yourself, Tell Them. Hallelujah. Don't keep it to yourself, tell them or tell somebody about it. Bishop has written a very powerful book. He has titled it, Tell Them. This month of evangelism and this period of being wise people, I would encourage you as a Christian to get this book and read it. It will give you 120 reasons why you should tell them and not to keep it unto yourself. Hallelujah. 120 reasons why you should tell them and not to keep to yourself, and how you can do it. And I recommend this book also to you, Anakazu. Anakazu that will help you also to make it come to pass. Amen. Wonderful. So I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. The Bible says that, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." The harvest truly is plenteous. Now, what is the harvest? It is the harvest of souls. Jesus came into this world to save sinners, to save us, to save mankind, to save souls from dying and going to hell. So the harvest is souls. So Bible says the harvest indeed is plenteous, plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now you will see that because the laborers are few, even though the harvest is plenteous, that is why you see pastors struggling and fighting over sheep. Even though the sheep, which is the harvest, is plenteous, and yet pastors and churches are fighting over sheep. You see pastors and churches taking members from one church to the other. Even though the harvest is plenteous, you see somebody wants to start a church. Instead of going to take some of the harvest, which is plenteous, to start a church, he will rather enter into the church and take souls to start the church. Why is it so? It is so because no one is laboring for the harvest. Even though the harvest is there, the harvest are the souls around. And there are so many souls in this world who are not born again. Hallelujah. So many souls in this world who are not born again, and for which reason and reasons why Jesus came to die on earth for us. The reason he came to die is so that the souls will be saved. And Jesus built his church and is building his church for the souls that will be saved, so that they will be kept in the church. That is what Jesus is doing. That is why when you go to the Anakazo story, which we'll go into it very soon, but the verse 23 of Luke 14, verse 23 of Luke 14, you will see why Jesus told that parable. It says, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Hallelujah. So when Jesus was building the church, or had the mind to build the church, his mind, his aim was that every church that is built will be filled with souls. Hallelujah. Every church that is built will have every seat occupied with souls. And then so many churches will be built that souls will occupy the churches. But how are we to do it? We are to do it through the laborers that will come into the harvest. Hallelujah. And the laborers to work the harvest of souls, the field of souls, so that the house will be filled. Because Jesus Christ did not want an empty house. As he started a church,
And there is no church that should be empty. If we indeed believe that the harvest is plenteous, it means somebody has gone to work it already. You are only supposed to go and bring them in. And how are we supposed to bring them in? There are two keys that we are supposed to use to bring them in. And all has to do with evangelism. Hallelujah. All has to do with evangelism. The church shouldn't be a place that we have a group of people who always fill the church and we are happy with ourselves. No. The church should be a place that always souls are being won and souls are being saved. And always the church is making room for one more person. Hallelujah. So that if the room becomes full, you need to send out those who have come from the harvest. You need to turn them to be laborers to send them out so that there will be space, and then more of the souls outside will come in to fill the space that will be created. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? So we need to labor and we need to work the field of souls. Now, how are we to do it? We are to do it by massive organized crusades and campaigns. Hallelujah. If there should be a key of massive organization, it means that we should organize ourselves. We should organize ourselves for evangelism. As a church, when we say we are going out for soul winning, and then we say we are going to this place to do crusades, all of us must be organized. Do you get it? To be part of that soul winning. That is one of the major ways, a very important key to work the field of souls. Otherwise, we will not be able to win the souls. We will not be able to harvest the souls that are plenteous. Every soul you meet who is not born again is part of the harvest that Jesus has come to work on. Amen. So we need to, as a church, we need to unlock the harvest with this key. This month, you have seen that many churches, branches, ministries are organizing outreaches. If you are part of a ministry of the chapel, I want you to be part of what they are doing. Do you get it? It is the only way to win the souls. When they say they are having breakfast meeting, and they are giving out tickets so that you bring souls to come for the breakfast meeting for the outreach, be part of it. Don't take yourself out of it. Because that is one of the only keys that we can use to harvest the souls that Jesus has come to die for. Amen. The souls that Jesus has come to die for. You have to talk to your friends. See, Bible says, by all means, save some. Which means some could be saved through open-air crusade. Some could be saved through door-to-door evangelism. Some could even be saved through concerts, musical shows, whatever. Some also be saved through breakfast meetings. It means that when you tell them that this Saturday morning, there's a continental breakfast meeting, and I have gotten you a ticket of 20 cedis, I want you to go and attend that meeting. Be part of it. That is how it should be done. Amen. That's how it should be done. I will now tell you what to do to let it come to pass. Because all of you, sometimes you can even buy a ticket to somebody and he won't come. Is that not so? That is when the second important key comes in. And that key is the key of anakazo. The key of anakazo. Amen. And anakazo is a Greek word which means to compel. To compel. What does it mean to compel? To compel. Which means that you can organize the breakfast meeting. You can organize the outreach. You can organize a film show. You can give them the ticket. But it's not automatic that they will come. It is not automatic that they will come. You need to use anakazo. You need to use anakazo. So anakazo means to compel. Anakazo also means to do what? Force. Some of us, the only time we can use force is when we need something for ourselves. When we want a woman to respond to a proposal. That's why we know how to use force and anakazo. So anakazo also means force. Anakazo means to necessitate. To necessitate. It also means to threaten. Born in training. But you have to threaten the person. You have to let the person know what will happen if you don't respond to this. And sometimes you must preach threatening messages and use threatening verses and threatening examples. A good threatening example is the story that Bishop Saki told one day, which is a reality. It's a true story. You get it? He went to Winneba Secondary School to preach some time ago. And when he was preaching, after preaching, he made an altar call. And there was somebody in the school called Abigail. And Abigail was popular in the school. Abigail was so beautiful. And you know something? Abigail was the girlfriend of the school prefect. And Bishop Saki preached. When he finished preaching and he made the altar call, Abigail felt that she should give her life to Jesus. She felt. But she didn't go forward. Because she told herself that she's so popular in school. Everybody knows her. They know her to be the girlfriend of the school prefect. And she had fans in the school. So how could she stand and give her life to Christ like that? So Abigail was shy. She didn't give her life to Christ. And Abigail said that maybe one day I will give my life to Christ. Because Abigail's mother was alive and Abigail's father was alive. So to her, she will also grow to become like the father and the mother in age one day. And the school vacated. When the school resumed, they went to the notice board. When they went to the notice board, you know what they saw? They saw obituary. Gone too soon. What a shock. Gone too soon. And whose picture was there? Abigail. Abigail's picture was there. Abigail had an accident and died. I mean, whatever she did and died. Abigail died. And didn't come back to school again. So Abigail had one chance. And you tell the person, you may be the Abigail that God is talking to today. You may think that you have a lot of chances, but you may be here today. But tomorrow we won't see you. In this very church, we had our sister. She didn't come to church one Sunday. The next time we saw, there was a terrible accident. Only God delivered her. She could have died. Maybe next week could have been her funeral. But God delivered her. You may not know when you will die. This is what? To threaten. But threaten with facts. Do you get it? Because some people, you need to talk to them in a certain way. Before they can understand that life is not always there for you. One day. And you can ask them, don't you have friends who went to school with you, who are dead? How different are you from them? So you have to use the key of anakazo to threaten the people. And some of you here, even you are in church, you need to be threatened to stop the sins you are sinning. Because one day, I read on the news recently, a very respectable dental surgeon at Kolebu Teaching Hospital. He went to a hotel room. And I can't say that he comes there regularly with this girl. And this day, as he went to the room, they were there and normally they spent 2 hours. They even know how much time they spend there. 2 hours. But they realized that the lady came to pass, but the man was not coming. When they went, he was dead. He was dead. So that it could be you. You may say, oh, this is the last time I'm going to do it. This is the last time I'm going to do it. But you may be doing it, and once you are reaching orgasm, in the midst of it, what was going to be your enjoyment is the one that will kill you. Hey! Now, when you hear this, can you easily go into it unless your heart is like something else? You get it. So, you have to tell them. But use an acaso. There are some people, this type of our evangelism you are doing, it doesn't do anything to them. It doesn't do anything to them. Amen. An acaso means to use any means at your disposal. Any means at your disposal. Recently, somebody put something on social media. My answer to that question was stupid and unrelated questions, avoid. But what was the question? The question was that if you invite a boy to church and he says, the only way I will come is if you let me sleep with you. If I will give my life to Jesus on condition that I sleep with you. You get it? And you go and say that, by all means possible, win some. So, I'm going to sleep with him to win him. Or win. It's a means, but it's a stupid, hellish, satanic means. So, the person put it on one of the social media was asking, what would you do? I just stopped it and said, a foolish and unanswered questions, avoid. It's a foolish question. Nobody should answer that question. Do you get it? Because this thing, it confuses people. And it's not everything on social media you should put on things. Because some of this is Satan also. See, somebody can come in, but the person is confused. If Bible says, by all means, save some, it doesn't mean that even if you have to murder, go and murder and save some. No. That's not what he's saying. But there are means, such as having breakfast meetings. There are means, such as having gospel rock show. Recently, First Love Center, Bishop Dark organized Accra Boogie King. Accra Boogie King. And more than 300 people, young men, gave their life to Jesus. Accra Boogie King. That means that they had a boogie competition. Our own Kwesi Oti was one of the judges. Accra Boogie King. And I told them we shall have Tema Boogie King. We shall have Tema Boogie King. Those of you who know how to dance. Hey! By all means, win some. Some people, you see, they would like to go to disco. They would like to go there. So that you can set a certain setting for them to come. That is why we are going to have a film show. And the film show that we are going to have is a film. Normal film. But you come. Bring your friends. We shall eat popcorn. We shall eat popcorn. We will drink Coca-Cola. Even somebody has proposed to you. Tell the person to let's go and watch a film. Don't say no. You don't say no. Say, okay, I'm thinking about it. But you know what? And he's an unbeliever. Do you know what? Today, let's go and watch film. Where are we going to watch the film? Accra Mall? No. Cathedral Mall. Cathedral Mall. Air-conditioned place. Come. When we come, we'll watch a film. But when we finish, then we'll watch a film. You will see. Do you get it? At all costs. Save some. Amen. At all, when you watch Kunkun Bajad, don't they have this thing that they do? They ask questions and they will say that winner will take one Hyundai Picanto. because you answered the questions well. We can also do that. We watch the film and we can ask, what did you learn from it? What is this? And how can you compare it to the Bible? How can the winner will get Accra, Tema, Accra? Something like that. Cool, so winning. Is that also cool and a casual? So, by all means, you see, because look, it is becoming increasingly difficult for people to give their life to Jesus. Because the world is becoming more and more worldly. More and more worldly. Satan has succeeded in making a lot of things more attractive than the gospel. We were also in the world some time ago. You get it? But I tell you, the things that people are seeing these days, well, I don't know, but it's also very wild. That is why you cannot just get a young girl invited to church and you think that is the end. No. Some of them, even as you invited them, they are sitting in church today. Their mind is that this is the first and last time they will be here. And if you are here like that, let me remind you of Abigail. Let me remind you of Abigail. Don't think that the person who has invited you for your soul to be won. Don't think. So if I'm talking about this like this, you are telling yourself, oh, the man, he wasn't doing extra, that's why he died. If you don't, you are the next person a man will die on. If you like, go and do it today. If you like, don't give your life to Jesus. Go and do it. Your picture will be on PMP, Daily Graphic, Daily Guide. You are under like that, the man is on you. For you, the man was so fat, nobody could remove him from you. And unfortunately for you, when the man locked the key, you can't open the key, so you and the dead body, you are there. And your picture will come like that. Say, hey, but this guy was in church last Sunday. What was he doing in that room? If you like, joke and go and do it. And some of you, see, you get pregnant, you abort, it will never abort. And you won't die too. It will abort and you will also not die. So the baby will come, triplets. Triplets. And you see your classmate passing, and you and your triplet, one is here, one is here, kind like that. You joke with what I'm saying. Joke with what I'm saying. So don't joke with it. If it happened to Abigail, it can happen to you too. Amen. So use everything at your disposal to convince. That's why so that we use our very lives. Why you haven't come to tell me that when you were in school you were smoking? But me, I've told you that when I was in school, I was smoking. And then I've told you that there was nothing good in it. This girl's father was the one who taught me how to. You are smoking weed with this girl's father. His name was called Lucifer. Now he's a pastor. And I'm also a pastor. Yes. He's a pastor. I'm also a pastor. And then we are telling you that look, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. You know, some of you, these young girls, you don't know. I used to have friends. They would tell me, Charlie, what happened? So I went to tell her sweet nothings. Every day you are hearing sweet nothings. The men are telling you things they don't mean it. Things they don't mean. Because of that, your pastor is telling you, Christ, oh, this pastor is just, he doesn't know what to say. They are lying to you. Lying to you. Yes. But I can't be sure of some of you. You get it? They are lying to you. I'm telling you, how can one man have three girlfriends and say he loves all of them? How? And let me just say, look, I can tell you, if you think you have a boyfriend, you are not the only one. I can tell you. Because when I was an unbeliever, I was a good boy. You get it? I was a good boy. And yet, all the girlfriends I had, everybody thought I loved her. Every one of them thought I loved her. Hey. But I was a good man. You get it? And everybody was so sure. Everybody was so sure. Just as you are so sure. You too are so sure. You are too sure. But the person has another1.com. You don't know. If I were you, today would be my last day. I would rather be like the drummer and say, today I will give my heart to Jesus. I'd rather be that. Are you understanding me? So church, the harvest cannot be harvested with this type of our church services we are having, and even devils are coming to dance with us. No. We need an akazo. And where has an akazo passed? Where is an akazo? Where is an akazo? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the Anakazo story quickly. The Anakazo story is in Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Luke 14, 16. Jesus was the one who was preaching this message. So then said he unto them, or to him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant to supper to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now let me tell you something. The certain man who made a great supper is God, who has started a church, who has brought his church. So the supper is the church. And the man doing the invitation is God. So God has set a table, he has started a church, he has formed a church, and every church is God's church. And every church is God's supper. Do you get it? And he said that he called many to come. And then he sent his church, the people who were already in the church, that go and bring more people to the church. Just as somebody has brought you to church, go and bring them to the church. And the Bible says that, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Began to make excuse. So let me tell you something. Your excuses you are making today, that I can't come to church because I have to go to work, I can't come to church because of this, all the excuses are coming from the devil. All the excuses, there is no excuse that should excuse you from coming to God's table. There's no excuse. That's enough from coming to God's table. Hallelujah. Because the church is God's supper. In case you don't know, the church is God's supper. And the person who came to invite you came to tell you that come for dinner. All things are now ready. And we as laborers should still go and tell them that the dinner is still ready. Come. And the people started making excuses. Excuses. Look at the excuses they made. The Bible says, one said, I have bought a piece of ground. I must need go and see it. Who will give you the power to build? There's a building around a junction to my house. Anytime I get to that place, something comes to my mind. Because I know the person who was building that building. He used to be a very good friend of mine, living outside of Ghana. Very good Christian by the grace of God. And I remember he would come and tell, because I just about 300 or so meters to my house. He would come and tell me how, anytime he came to Ghana, he went to the place, he would tell me how he wants to build a house. Then he would tell me that he would make a swimming pool. And he would tell me that anytime I'm going home, I'll pass by. And then we'll swim. And then he was going to make a terrace. We'll sit there. And we'll be drinking Coca-Cola. We'll be talking. And things like that. He showed me where he would put this and where he would put that. But not long after he died, he was entering his room in London. He went to work and he was entering his room. He entered his room, he fell. And he had a heart attack and died. Every time I'm passing, I see that building. I say, wow. So that land you are going to see, perhaps you may not even live in that house. And yet God is calling you, say, I won't come. Perhaps you may not even be able to put one block, one cement on the ground, and you will die. And yet God is calling you, say that, I have bought a piece of land, I need to go and look at it. Wouldn't you rather want to go and listen to what God is telling you, and then, just in case you have to die, it's better that way. Is that not so? But I have bought a piece of land. And many of the excuses we make, recently a very good friend of mine, working in one of the most powerful banks in Ghana, head of department, one Saturday, his brother just sent me a text. He is gone. He is gone. And this guy is hard working. And I've known him for several years. hard working. 57 years old or so, hard working. He's gone. And I asked myself, all the hard work he was putting in the bank, everything he was doing, perhaps because of that, he may be so today I can't come for rehearsal. Today I can't because I need to complete this thing. All the things he has done, what matters now? What matters now? Perhaps you should have just gone to listen to Jesus and come and continue. But they said, I have bought a piece of land. Excuse. Let him go on. The next one said, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go and prove them. I pray they have me excused. Look at even the excuses. The first one, how can you buy a land before you go and inspect it? You should have even inspected the land before. That even shows you the way you think. Do you get it? And said, I have bought an oxen. I cannot come. The oxen is what stands for business. Business. Many people, because of your business, you cannot give your life to Jesus. You cannot respond to the call of God to come for dinner because of business. Sometimes you see, even some who have been born again because of business, they don't want to go on. This business you are building, one day you die and a foolish son will come and take over. One man, he was very rich and he had a business. When he died, his son drank all his business away. You know how he did it? He would take one air conditioner and take it to the drinking bar. And he said, this air conditioner is, let's say, 1,000 cedis. So when I finish drinking 1,000 cedis, tell me. So for, let's say, 1 month, he and his friends will come. They will come and drink. The man will say, oh, 1,000 cedis is finished. Okay, then he'll bring another air conditioner. He drank all the air conditioners in the house and started drinking the tables, drinking the beds. But all the man's work is gone. All the things you are doing. So if you don't add God to this, that's why I was saying, what shall a prophet a man? If you don't add God to this, and you kill yourself for this, and after that, what else? Do you get it? So God says, the excuses must stop. Amen. Another said, I have married a wife. You know, this type of marriage and beloved and girlfriend issue, man issue, girl issue. Girl issue. Some of you, the only reason why you cannot give your life today is because of that boy. Because of that girl. Because of that boy, that girl. But one day, if you give your life to Christ, one day God will give you a boy and a girl who will be more like than an angel to you, in case you don't know. Amen. He said, I cannot come because I have married this thing. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the Lord was angry. He wasn't happy. He was angry. Why was he angry? Because, you see, he came for you. You are the reason why. This. You see, some of you, you may even be angry with the person who invited you to church because of the time. You may even ask your assistant that you may be angry that you brought me. I've been sitting here in the morning and look at the time. I told you I have something to go. You see, because you don't know that God is rather angry with you for being angry. Because you may live here and not even reach home. You may live here and not even reach home. Or you may live here and reach home, but whatever you went to work for, at the end of the day, it will amount to nothing. So God was angry. So he said, go out quickly into the street, the lanes, and bring either the poor, the maimed, the whore, the blind. And the servant said, I've done all. I've done all. You get it? I've done all. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and now compel them. Compel them. Which means that we have done all and yet the room is still empty. It means you have not added a certain anakazo to our evangelism. Your friend has not come to church because you have not added a certain, and you have been too ladylike, too gentle, too cool. If a house was burning and you saw your son or your child or a loved one in the fire and you felt that you could go and bring the person, would you be thinking about the watch you are going to wear? Would you be thinking about the shoe you are going to wear? You will not. You will just go in and bring the person. Snatch the person. But why is it that this person, I don't want to, even some of us, we even don't want to offend them. I don't want to offend him. So I'm doing it gradually. Hey! As if you have the person's life in your hand and you know when the person will die. I'm doing it gradually. Instead of, I'm accusing the person, telling the person, let's go to church. I'll come to you. And now the person says to me, I won't come to church. Okay, now there's breakfast meeting. So now I bought you a ticket. Let's go for this breakfast. He said, I won't go for breakfast. Now there's film show. Let's go and watch it. I won't watch the film. Now there's drama. Let's go and watch. But now there is Boogie King. Let's go. You have to do it. Let me tell you something. What we have there, that's what Paul says, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You get it? And Paul, he was very educated. He was a respectable person in society. But when he came to the gospel, he said that I will never be ashamed of this. How can I be ashamed of something as powerful, as important as this? Something that talks about God. How can I be ashamed? And some of you are ashamed even to talk to your classmates. You don't even want them to know that you are a Christian. I remember when I went to the bank. When I went, I was very cute. And then, as I went, young man had come to the bank, you know, those days I had hair. God has not started barbering me. So I had nice hair. I went and sat down. Then this nice, young, I think he was the deputy manager or something, when he saw me, he realized, this guy, he has come. So, when I sat in the office, another person was talking about Christ. I think they were playing something on radio. And somebody was preaching. So, the person was, you know, talking about Christ. So, I happened to go out of the office for a while. And then this man walked to me. You know what he told me? He said, you know, he was chewing gum. He said, don't mind this guy. Saying, this office, everybody's free to do what they can do. Don't mind them, these creepy people. And when he told me, at that time, it was creepy. When he told me, I looked at him. And momentarily, it's like, hey, I shouldn't show them also a creepy because how this nice man has come and he's telling me, chewing gum, telling me, don't mind all these creepy people. This, I said. But immediately he said that something. He said, oh, hey, me to make creepy. Me to make creepy. Me to make born again. Look, the man's face, is she a black face that I became red before? What? His black face became, okay, I think he was fair. He was a very fair guy. His face became red. Since that day, he never came to me to tell me say any of those things to me again. He didn't come to tell me. I wasn't ashamed. You know, when you're a certain age, you think you're on top of the world. Working at the Bank of Ghana at a certain age, hey, Charlie, you think you're on top of the world. But I say, hey, do you even know how I came to this bank? It's God who opened the door for me. He said, me too. I'm a Christian. Me too. I wasn't ashamed at all. And from that day, I remember once they were having a party at the office. They said somebody should pray. Hey. And then before I prayed, the beer, Guinness, everything was on the table like that. They said somebody should pray. I said, what? And they called me. The prayer was like evangelism. Hey, I said, Lord, they who do such things shall not enter into the kingdom of God. I pray that, Lord, you save people from alcohol, from smoking, from this. May we all know you. May we die and go to heaven. Oh, Lord. Hey. And at the point, sometimes when I'm praying, I open my eyes. And when I open my eyes, people will look at me. I tell you, the next time they had a party, they called a Muslim to pray. I was there, I can tell you. I even know his name. They called a Muslim to pray. I was there, they called a Muslim to pray. They didn't make any attempt to call me to pray. They know that if I pray, Hey, I prayed against those who are married and have girlfriends. Then when they get, effects of drinking, all came in the prayer. It was a whole evangelistic service. Hey! And when I finished praying, nobody came to me. I mean, I felt so lonely and so bad. I was alone. Nobody came to the thing. Then I said, who cares? I found my way out of the place and I went somewhere else. I wasn't ashamed. But if it were you, you pray over the beer, you pray over the Guinness, and say, amen. Do you think prayer is a joke? Prayer is talking to God. So if you have got your beer to drink, don't come and ask me to come and pray for you. I wasn't ashamed. And I am not ashamed. You, when you see the person, the way I am, I don't have to do this. So, see, a lady doesn't. A lady doesn't do what? Go to the mortuary and go and see ladies who are. One day I saw an accident on TV. The lady's leg was broken. I didn't know how the accident was. The leg was thrown somewhere this way. Wow! Is that the end of a nice lady? Yeah, the end of it. So, church, let's go out and win souls. And now, let us not do it the way we have been, because the way we have been doing it, they don't. It's an unfortunate for us to, the churches have become unfortunate. So, it's not easy for people to easily accept to go to church. Do you get it? So, we need to use anakazo. Hey, brothers. Brothers, you proposed to a woman, she said no. But you said that you still get. You did everything till the woman said yes. How many brothers are here like that? Yeah. But now when it comes to the gospel, he said that you came to church today, he won't come again. So me, I'm sick and tired of just hey, you are sick and tired of what? 2 days? 2 days? And above all, we got to know that when you win souls, God blesses you. When you win souls, God does what? God does what? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things are your blessings. The things, your hair, and look, as for God's children, he blesses them all. God's children are nice people. Yeah. God's children are nice. That's why you are nice, isn't it? That's why you are nice. God will bless you. Oh, Kai. The unbelievers, they will look at you. The Philistines will be envious of you very soon. That's why you see these days, the unbelievers, they are criticizing us. They say, guys, at the church, when you go, they are talking about money. They were thinking that we shall be poor. They were thinking that we shall be poor. They didn't know that as we came and we are winning the souls, the silver and the gold will come to us. They were thinking that we shall be poor. You get it? But they don't know that we serve a God who, when you please, he will bless you. When you win souls, he will bless you. God will bless you with a good man. God will bless you with a good woman. God will bless you with a good job. God will bless you with a good house. God will make you drive good cars. In the name of Jesus. All other things that Gentiles are seeking, and you are seeking God, God will bring your way, and God will make it abundant in your life, in the name of Jesus. God will bring you here, make a man you love put a ring on your finger, and the man will take you for honeymoon, in the name of Jesus. You won't be poor because you serve God. You won't be sad because you serve God. You won't. Is it rap music? You have a song for us? Yeah. Can you give us one rap music? Yeah. Put your hands back. Let's welcome Brother Rapture! Is it rap music you want? Yo, man.
Hello?
Is it rap music you want? Give them some of the rap. And this man, he used to be a rapper. Yeah. He used to be a DJ. By all means, he will sing some.
Oh, na, 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 Ona, na, ona, na, 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 na. Come on, ona, we go. Say, I do name, and I want say, and I want to, and I'm a chance, or the body, and the same. What's the matter of my grown up? Watch it, come on, I do name, and I want say, and I want to. Come on, we go.
Me bomb me down, and then me shabbe me pia your friend in Jesus Christ. De pia mani dinya wumoto. Okaya wobu sam to me ye foko. I don't fool my yen yi na jet na jaya dear. Come on. Na 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 na.
It's a mistake. You will be happy. God will bless you as you seek the kingdom of God, as you go for the souls. So today someone invited you here. Thank God for the person's life. Thank God for the person's life. If you are not born again, take the opportunity. Don't give yourself any excuses. Don't say, I'm shy, I cannot go. Don't give yourself any excuse. Just say, look, I'm just going to partake of God's table and I'll be blessed. Amen. Thank you, Father. 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 Yes, Father, your hands. Ask yourself, am I sick? Am I born again? Am I doing the work of God? Am I using an account to win souls?
for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't want to die and go to hell. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Your friend you are looking at has nothing to do with you. If you die, you die alone. You go alone. You don't go with anybody. And I want to do my part.
Jesus calling, who will go and work today? Fields are wide and harvest waiting. Who will bear the seed away?
The people that I was born again, and yet that was the day I got born again. God surprised me because I lied to them that I was born again. No, I wasn't born again.
Loud and long the Master calls you, rich reward He offers freely. Who will answer gladly?
Just say this with me. Believe it in your heart. Believe what you are going to say in your heart. Say it from your mouth. And you are going to say with your mouth and you are going to be saved. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Lord. You alone can forgive sins.
Can forgive
and can save.
And can save.
Today,
I accept you. I accept you
into my heart
as my Lord
and my personal Savior.
I confess
you
as my Lord
from today.
I declare
before all these people
that I am a child of God.
Jesus is my Lord.
It's my Lord.
And I am born again.
Thank
you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. For saving me today.
For saving me today.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.